Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. There's Van Halen to bring us in. We appreciate them very much. That's Eddie. No, that's not Eddie. That's him on the guitar. That's David Lee on vocals. We got Jim Ostroff. He's going to come in and sing a little chorus for us in just a minute. Jim is with us. He's our good friend and outstanding member of our Brain Trust, associate editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and he's here to talk to us about the most recent Kiplinger letter. Jim Ostroff, welcome back to the show.
Hey, good morning, Jim, and good morning, everybody.
It's good to have you here, as always. And Jim, I got a chuckle out of what they're calling the recent election there in your it's not a tri-state area. It's a two-state with a district area. It's a two-and-a-half state, maybe we'll call it.
Right.
But kind of like two-and-a-half men, the show two-and-a-half men.
Right.
But Maryland, Virginia, and the District of Columbia had their election this week.
Well, they did. They had their primaries, and John McCain and Barack Obama triumphed, and it really was a triumph. It wasn't a squeaker.
Now, Huckabee almost took Virginia, didn't he?
You know, it turned out it wasn't 50-50, but the thing is that McCain, put it this way, that Huckabee, you know, came much closer than many people thought he would. But McCain won, and
what about this Obama thing? He's won 20 elections.
Well,
and she's won six, I think, or eight?
I think it's
Hillary's won
eight,
six or eight?
Maybe eight.
Eight, yeah, that's right. 8 and 20, as I remember. I may not have everything added, but it's... And the thing is, Jim, is the ones that he's won, the states that he's won, some were caucuses, some were primaries.
Right, right.
He's won... with 2-to-1 margins in some cases.
Where he's won, he really Obama has blown away the competition. Where he's won, and the thing is, right now, what we're all looking at is, and you think about is what George Bush the first would call the big mo, the momentum,
right.
And sometimes that has a power above. It might say how much cash was raised or how many IOUs you thought you have. Put it this way, on both sides of the aisle, if a person seems to be really gaining momentum and a role, that often goes and, like a magnet.
It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, doesn't it?
It does, and support, but particularly among other politicians as well, because they want to be on the right side of the Lord.
Hasn't it been interesting how the Democrat elite, how many of them have not supported the Clintons?
Well, that is correct. And there's a long list and litany of reasons why. Everything from the fact that they, for all of experience, are those who think that Hillary Clinton may lack some, essentials of leadership. To others who just are just plain out sexist and say they don't want a woman. But, another factor,
and
too.
From the Democrat Party? I mean, Jim, that's antithetical to the Democrats, isn't it?
There are even some...
You're pulling up... You're throwing some dirty laundry out here for the Democrats Jim.
Democrats, Republicans are all politicians. But another factor, is one here. There even are those who basically say, we believe that Senator Clinton has the essentials to do the job, and we think she would be a good president. And this is serious, though, but they say, but we don't want Bill back.
As Romney said, who wants Bill Clinton roaming around the White House with nothing to do?
Right, right. I mean, rightly or wrongly,
but reporting. Do you think you brought up the issue of the feminist thing in the Democrat Party. Is there also a little bit of racism in the Democrat Party? Maybe racism isn't the right word, there seems to be a little bit of discrimination maybe in some of their thinking.
I mean, I got to say, the Democratic Party is held under a very large tent. And it holds, you know, many different people of different thoughts. And so certainly you're going to get those who, you know, object to somebody on political grounds, on their accomplishments, or on their race or gender. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, recall, too, Will Rogers' comment that he was a member of no organized political party,
right?
Because he was a Democrat.
That's right.
Well, you know, there are many things. And the thing is, on both sides of the aisle, of course, there are people who have all different reasons why they would, you know, support or oppose someone.
Well, here's one thing that's for certain, I think, right now, barring some kind of a shocking event of some kind, for the first time in the history of America, two sitting senators will be the nominees for both parties.
That's the way it is.
Think about that. Something, some kind of catastrophic issue or event or something, you know, train wreck of some kind, literal or physical, or figurative, we'll have two sitting senators. And you know, only what, twice in the history of the country have a sitting senator been elected to president.
Right.
And many times have they run, but most of the time they don't win. But now they will come to pass.
It does. Way the stars have aligned this time. And, you know, prior to this, we go back 47 years to John Kennedy as a sitting senator.
Yeah.
But Jim, here's
my question. We've had four sitting senators running for president a long time. There are others that were too, but these four have been running for a long time. Edwards, Clinton, Obama, and McCain. We're paying them to run for president. There's no way they can be doing their senatorial jobs the way that what we paid them to do,
right,
and run for president at the same time. What's wrong with that picture, Jim?
Yeah. Well, I should say also recall that Edwards ran for vice president.
Yeah, I thought I included him. I meant to include him. Yeah.
Yeah. That he. I'm saying.
Yeah, there were four. Those are the four I was talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, but right now, of course, Edwards is
he's
gone.
Out. But still,
yeah.
He campaigned a long time on our nickel.
Of course that happens, and of course, on the other hand, I mean, it's just the way the game is played. You have the President of the United States who campaigns on our taxpayer funds.
Well, that's true. You know, I still admire Bob Dole back in 96, I guess it was,
right,
when he
96.
Resigned from the Senate and said, I'm going to run just as a man.
Right.
I admire him for that. That's character right there. Where do we find that kind of character anymore, Jim? 20 after. We're going to be right back. We've got more to come after these messages.
Hi, Jim. This is Beverly Inman Ebel, author of Talk Is Not Cheap at TalkListen.com. Congratulations on the 10th anniversary of the Small Business Advocate Show. Way to go, Jim. You did not stop at dreaming. You did it.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. Little Marvin Gaye in the background bringing us back. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we got Jim Ostroff with us. Jim is Associate Editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and we're talking about the first segment, folks, was not something that Kiplinger says in their letter this week. That was something that I wanted to talk with Jim Ostroff about. But now we are going to talk, Jim, about the Kiplinger letter, because the lead story blends in perfectly. They don't call me the king of Segway for nothing, Jim. Blends in perfectly with your lead story in the letter this week, which is how much businesses will get behind John McCain. Now, are you talking about in the campaign or in the if he becomes president?
Well, I'm saying right now during...
Right now, during the campaign. Will the businesses throw their weight and their money and their support in behind John McCain during the election cycle? What do you think? What does Kiplinger say?
And the thing is here that overall, yes, business will support John McCain. They will back John McCain not only as a GOP candidate or someone running for the nomination, but also running as the Republican standard bearer. Yes, they will, but with not overwhelming enthusiasm, because the thing is, now McCain has a lot of positives with business people and business owners, saying he wants to tackle this issue of immigration, something that's very high on labor's agenda, on business's agenda. And for instance, fighting for tort reform, caps
yep.
on damages. But the thing is that he...
He's a mixed bag, though, with business, isn't he?
It is. For instance, he also is very much has authored legislation on so-called global warming.
Yeah.
You know, he also backs mandates. You know, for instance, to cut greenhouse gas emissions.
Right.
And imposing.
He voted against the Bush tax cuts.
That's correct.
That didn't increase his favor in my side either.
No, wasn't not a hero on that count. And you know, for instance, though he does favor making the cuts permanent now, it was just his question about who benefits the most from. Are they too skewed to help the rich? For instance, McCain opposes, you know, ending the estate tax forever. He would just like to hike the amount, the exclusion, to like $10 million. You know, and it goes on and on like that. For instance, you know, all of the major remaining candidates left standing, you know, would limit the alternative minimum tax.
Mm-hmm.
They do it in different ways. And
right.
And they have opinions, particularly McCain does, on the long-term capital gains. But it's a mixed bag. I mean, so that you might say, in the end of the day, yes, you know, businesses, individuals will support, you know, McCain over.
Are they? Will they support him over the Democrat? Because you know, more and more business leaders of the bigger businesses, the big boxes,
mm-hmm.
more and more of them are supporting either both sides of the aisle just to hedge their bets, or they're giving quite a bit more to Democrats.
Well, you know,
seems preposterous to me.
No, but they're
because okay. if you look at what motivates a business CEO, mm-hmm. and what motivates the Democrats, those are mutually exclusive in many ways.
But that is correct. But in many cases, of course, you have CEOs of very large companies, and they want to be on the right side during mm-hmm. after the next election. So, yes, of course, you see people putting money on both sides, betting on both. But if there's a feeling, in this case, that the Democrat is going to triumph, they're more likely to go and openly support that person or send a lot more money there, hoping to have some favor during, you know, the next administration.
John McCain is one of the most interesting candidates that I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, he is.
He is such a multifaceted candidate and individual, but also mm-hmm. candidate. I mean, there's no question that he believes in himself. I think he has a lot of character. He's obviously a patriot. He's a war hero. Everybody accepts that and reveres him. Even the Democrats revere him for that.
Right, they do.
But he has such an all over the board kind of a record. Mm-hmm. with you know, he's a Republican. He says he's a Reagan Republican, but yet three of the most notable pieces of legislation that he's co-authored, not just supported, but co-authored, has been co-authored with some of the most liberal Democrats in the history of the country.
Well,
Feingold,
correct.
Kennedy, and as much as I admire Lieberman for the kind of Democrat that he is, he's still a liberal Democrat.
Well, that's correct. And of course, then on the other side, people say, you know, they say, hey, look, if this person is our next president, you know, he stands a good chance of really breaking deadlock and gridlock,
yep.
getting things done,
yep.
because he can work with both sides of the aisle. Then the other hand, people say, well, do we want that?
Some people, like me, actually don't mind gridlock. I think
right.
gridlock might be a good thing. In fact, I'm not sure gridlock isn't the savior of this country sometimes. Jim Ostroff and I will be right back. It's 29 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Sit and smile. Your house is only another mile.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. Thanks for tuning in. If you've just gotten here, welcome aboard. We're glad you're part of our day. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and I hope you'll check that out and use it to your advantage, because that's where you can find our show, all the different ways you can listen. You can find archives and art of past shows back 8 or 9 years, and also interviews that we've done with all of our Brain Trust members. And the newsletters is there. You can subscribe to it. The blog is there. You can check it out. We update it every weekday. You can read hundreds and hundreds of articles that I've written and my Brain Trust members have written. And, of course, that's at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And our knowledge base, askjim.biz.biz, that's where you can go and ask a question and get an answer immediately. So check that out. Use it to your advantage. Jim Ostroff is our guest. He's our good friend, and he's associate editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Jim, let's move over and talk about the economy. And one of the things, as we all know, that's really part of the challenges right now in the global economy is the credit crunch, the credit crisis, the global credit crisis. But what's been interesting to me, Jim, is how this has stratified. The problem has stratified, or I should say the different levels of degree of difficulty have stratified, because while it's difficult for some businesses to get credit, and especially if they want to put deals together, put mergers and acquisitions together, it's difficult for those guys. Everybody I'm talking to at the small business level down here on Main Street, where I live, Jim, where I operate, we're not having any trouble with credit.
You know, it is very different, and the thing is, so often, I'm saying, you know, small businesses, I think they know and they do that they have to have a very good and solid business plan, and they have to show income and expenditures. And the point mm-hmm. is then that you go to a bank or any whatever lending institution, and of course they want to say, well, what's your risk? This, you know, for many smaller businesses, the fact is, they're saying, all things considered, it's a fairly low risk, and they have much easier access.
Well, and now I'm not saying, Jim, that banks aren't, you know, if they were operating at 100% of their maximum risk tolerance, say a year and a half ago, I'm not saying they're operating at 90% today. They probably have tightened up a few of their parameters, but still, basically, if you got a reasonable plan, as you said, if you got a reasonable plan and the financials that are solid, and you got a good credit rating, you can get credit for a small business. But the well for mergers and acquisitions and for other types of big transactions, that's kind of dried up up the high level, hasn't it?
Well, yes, it has, because basically there's a few things. Perception that is more risky, but also it's sort of tighter parameters here in making decisions on lending for M&As, just saying, like, what are the odds that we will get our money back? What are the possibilities? And just looking at an enhanced chances that those mergers or acquisitions could fail. And so they're just pulling back. Again, in a way, of course, it is a perception. It's almost psychological, just sort of saying, I could get burned. I'm not even going to look at it. And that, of course, feeds on itself. Eventually it plays out, but during that period, there's pain.
Well, you know, a lot of those big banks they're writing down tens of billions of dollars. They're having to seek capital from foreign investors, like these sovereign wealth funds,
mm-hmm.
and so while they're bleeding, you know, equity through these discounted loans that they made, they're not able to make these other loans. And the reason that the local banks for small business that work with small business owners, the reason that they're not doing so badly, is because when they created the mortgages, when they had their mortgage company, you know, originated these mortgages, mm-hmm. they sold them upstream that's to right. these big companies, these
that,
big banks.
Right. And so, that's right.
So they washed their hands when it went upstream.
Exactly. Yeah. And they have, and so they usually have sort of less exposure, less to worry about. It's gone. Maybe they have problem loans. They don't own them.
Exactly. Now, I do want to report on one thing that I've seen recently, folks. You might want to pay attention to this. Credit card companies are checking your credit every month to see if you're delinquent anywhere. And if you are, they may be making adjustments to your credit limits. So don't presume that the credit limit you had a year ago or even 2 months ago is still the same one you have today. They are checking those things. So check that out and be aware. Don't be surprised by that out at, when you get out traveling across the country. Tweetail, stay with us. I'll be right back.
You've reached Pierce Incorporated. For Matt Pearson Sales, press 1. For Matt Pearson Accounting, press 1. For Matt Pearson Human Resources, press 1.
At Aflac, we know things are different in small companies. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. With Aflac SB, your small business can have the same Aflac products and service the big guys get at no direct cost to you.
For Matt Pearce in a state of exhaustion, press 1.
To learn more, call 800-99-AFLAC
or
visit aflacsb.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
I'm Arnold Palmer, and I've played some tough courses in my career, but the course that posed the most challenging hazards for me is being a business owner. That's why I'm a client of Administaff. They manage HR burdens like government compliance, workers' comp, and payroll taxes, giving you a competitive advantage.
That's right, Arnold. I'm Susan Moore, president of DPI here in Georgia, and I've seen the cost of complying with employment regulations skyrocket. Administaff helps me control and manage these costs, and they handle all of my other HR needs too, enabling me to devote my energy to growing the business, not just preserving it.
Administaff champions the needs of business owners, providing administrative relief, big company benefits, reduced liabilities, and a systematic way to improve productivity. Call Administaff at 800-465-3800 or visit administaff.com. And remember, small business is good for America. Administaff is good for small business.
Since I began broadcasting the show in 1997, part of my contract with you has been to introduce you to only the very best people, companies, and products that I can find. IBM fits that profile 100%. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know by now, IBM is my sponsor in bringing you this show and all of my other small business resources. Take it from me, IBM has done a great job of developing the kinds of products and services you and I need to grow our small businesses and that help us gain a competitive edge through technology. You can find all of IBM's small business offerings at ibm.com/business center, including a free electronic newsletter, special offers, and online advice on helping you make the right technology and e-business choices. I hope you'll say thanks to IBM for helping me help you by giving them first shot at your technology and e-commerce business. That's www.ibm.com/business center. It's a great small business website.
There's nothing small about today's small business. Big hours make up big work weeks. Every meeting is a big meeting. Every call is a big call. When the only printer for all the computers breaks down, it's a big problem. And now, thanks to Aflac, even small business insurance has gone big. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. Now, your small business can have the same great Aflac products and service the big guys get. For more information, call 1-800-99-AFLAC or visit aflacsb.com.
Aflac!
For small business, American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
Aflac for small business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an amoeba.
An amoeba?
Uh-oh, got a split.
Oh, bye.
No, I got a split in half. You know, us amoebas always growing.
Well, with Aflac for small business, you get a lot of the benefits of a big business at no direct cost to you while you're still growing.
Great, because here I go. Much better.
Well, you can both visit AflacSB.com or call 1-800-99-AFLAC. American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Consumer Focus, I'm Matt Kelly. Last month, the Zota virus dealt a crippling blow to some of the world's largest companies. Now, small and mid-sized businesses are wondering if their IT networks stand a chance against the threat of viruses, spam, and more. IBM's Mike Regal.
More than 90% of all virus outbreaks now start with email. And amazingly, half of all the email sent is spam. And a quarter contains pornographic content. What this means is that small and mid-sized businesses can't be as productive or competitive as they want, and it damages their reputation in the process.
Regal recommends that even the smallest of businesses can afford to implement big business strategies when it comes to email security.
Antivirus and anti-spam programs are extremely cost-effective. If you're looking for added protection, you can use an outside vendor to easily manage your email security, and that allows you to focus on your core business operations.
For more information on email security, visit ibm.com/businesscenter/email. That's Consumer Focus from IBM. I'm Matt Kelly.
Hi, I'm Arnold Palmer. You know, operating a successful business is a lot like playing golf. You need focus, dedication, passion, and a great caddy to shoulder the load. That's why I'm a client of Administaff. They manage HR burdens for America's best small businesses, providing administrative relief, big company benefits, reduced liabilities, and a systematic way to improve productivity.
That's right, Arnold. I'm Susan Moore, president of DPI here in Georgia. We signed on with Administaff to provide better benefits for our employees, but Administaff benefits for employers have surpassed our highest expectations. From recruiting and job training to payroll and liability issues, Administaff offers all the advantages a growing company needs.
To take a load off, talk to the pros at Administaff. Call 800-465-3800 or visit administaff.com. Small business is good for America. Administaff is good for small business.
Aflac for Small Business, how can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business, you dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business, just me and my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to aflacsb.com. Aflac for Small Business, because small business needs...
Aflac!
Too.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.